Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. We thank God for you tuning in with us. This is Reverend Ulysses Morgan, and we give God the glory for all that he is doing in our lives. Amen. This is Let's Talk Bible. We're going to get into the Word of God in just a few minutes with a great message, great teaching. Amen. And we just praise God for you tuning in. Glory to God. In just a few minutes, we're going to come back with the Word of God. Amen. Ministries, and we give God the glory for all that he is doing in our lives. So we are delighted to come to you every Monday about this time, 6:30, whether you be at home in your car or wherever you may be, on the internet, on your phone. We just thank God that those of you have tuned in, and I know that many of you, I thank God for many of you all who responded and received great blessings because of your response and testimonies. We've been praying for you. We will continue to pray for you. And prayer causes things to happen. Prayer changes things. And for those of you who haven't sat down and jot us a word of testimony as of yet, the P.O. Box is 492 here in Cordial, Georgia, 31010. You get the zip code right, amen, the city will come up. But it's P.O. Box 492. You can address it to me, Ulysses Morgan, amen, or the Genesis International. We just thank God for you, amen, being blessed by this. This makes it worthwhile to me, and this is the reason that we're on the air. Glory to God. I was in television for 25 years, and now we're on radio here, and we're going to continue on doing what God has called us to do. We've been through many difficult trials and tribulations, amen, and yet God is still good, and he's still moving in our lives, and we just give God the glory for all that he is doing. Today's subject we're going to be talking about, if you got your pencil and your paper, you want to jot it down, amen. It's a similar subject that we've talked before, but we want to make sure that we give an understanding on this particular portion, because in my prayer, God gave me this anointing word, amen. It was awesome. I don't know how many of you have ever shouted in your prayers, but I have shouted many times, in the revelational word that God has delivered to me as I pray during my hour of prayer every day. And so I tell you, this word here really enthused me, and hopefully it will do you. I believe an anointing is going to come over this airway, over these phones, or wherever you may be listening at this time, to bless your heart. You didn't tune in by accident. This is the will of God. Neither is it a coincidence. You belong to God, and God wants to answer your prayers. And he does that. If you ever read your Bible, if anybody has ever read a portion of their Bible, will understand that, especially New Testament, amen, and many parts of Old Testament, God spoke to his people through his prophets, spoke to his people through his apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And God is speaking and answering prayer for many of you that are listening in right now. Glory to God. And it doesn't matter what reason you're listening in for. You may just be listening to see what I'm going to say today. You just may be listening because you need an answer to prayer. You've been talking to God. And I have been blessed several times in the answering of my prayers through listening to anointed men and women of God. And I'm just going to mention it because I'm not ashamed of these women and men of God, which is Bishop T.D. Jakes and Joyce Meyer. Ooh, an anointed woman of God. She is an anointed woman of God. I love her ministry. Amen. Joel Osteen and many, many others. Amen. That anointed. But I don't. There are many that I listen to, but these people that I just mentioned are ones who really, and for me, because God sends a pastor and a preacher and a teacher to every person according to their needs. This is why the world is not into one church as of yet. It won't be until Jesus comes, because there are people who have many needs, and God give to each pastor or minister a revelation, the Bible declares, and a gift severally as he will. And it depends upon who you're speaking to. This is why Paul the apostle was able to minister the same time Peter the apostle was ministering, because they had different ministries to different people to meet different needs. Amen. And yet it was the same God. And I tell you, it's the same today. So you're here and you're listening, and you are going to, I believe, be blessed, and prayers are going to be answered, and things are going to happen for you greatly soon after this broadcast is over. So let's get ready to go into the word of the Lord. Amen. The topic that we're going to be discussing today is submission. Submission. And we're not necessarily going to be talking about husbands and wives, but we're going to be talking about in other areas. Amen. Submission in ministerial areas. And I want to go to the Romans, the 13th chapter, the book of Romans, the 13th chapter and the first verse, which will lay the foundation of what God has given me an assignment to give to you today. Romans 13 and 1 is recorded, and I'm going to read it, and it records as follows. We understand that Paul was writing to the Roman church. Glory to God, the church that was in Rome at this time, and he was mentioning some things that are still prevalent today, because demons don't die. They just continue to move on from generation to generation. And so the same things that were happening to the church in the days of Paul in Rome, the same thing is happening in the church today in whatever city you are listening to me from. Glory to God. So let's get a word from the Lord here today. Romans 1, 13 and 1, 13th chapter, first verse says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God, or ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resisted shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not terror to those to good works. They're not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Third verse. Thou then not be afraid. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. The church, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God and those that are listening to me. And I know, dear God, that I don't have the attention of everybody that I feel needs to be, but those that are listening, you're getting ready to promote them. You're getting ready to bless them. You're getting ready, oh God, to turn things around for them. You're getting ready to shift them. Oh God, you're getting ready to place a word in their spirit and in their minds. And I thank you for it right now, Holy Spirit. You're the only one that can go into all places at the same time and touch. And you know who you're touching right now, and you know who is going to receive this word. I thank you right now, and as they receive it, the blessings are decreed in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here is writing to Corinthian church because they had problems with being submissive to the higher power, to the ministers of God. And so he is talking here, and this is what we have to understand. See, listen to me very carefully, those of you that are here. Listen to me. I am not preaching this. Preachers, the anointed men and women of God, we don't preach just to hear ourselves preach. I'm not preaching because I'm getting a great deal of money. Amen. Matter of fact, I don't get any for this. I'm not preaching just to get popularity. Amen. I'm not preaching for that because, you know, I can go and preach prosperity and all that kind of stuff. Amen. But the key point of it is what I'm saying to you is sincere from my heart, and I believe it is from the Lord. And so here's what we must understand in this area, that Paul is speaking here to the church that is in Rome because they had a problem with submitting to authority. Now, he's saying you cannot be blessed, you cannot be promoted, you cannot move forward unless you are subject to whom God has placed you under. Not who you've placed yourself under, but whom God has placed you under. And the Spirit of God is not an ignorant person. He knows how to let you know whom he has sent for you. He knows how to let you know who your anointed person is. Glory to God. He says here, let every soul be subject to the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. They ordain. And I know you got a lot of people right now calling themselves ministers and preachers, and I must say this. I'm a deliverance preacher, amen, and deliverance means deliverance in everything, glory to God, spiritually, physically, and financially, glory to God. And so there are some things that I'm going to be saying that a lot of people don't agree with, and some people understand, and you got three classes of people, in my opinion, those that won't agree with you, no matter what, those that do agree with you, and those that have an open mind, amen, that are puzzled and perplexed, that's ready to receive the truth and know it when they hear it and follow it. Glory to God. So you have to determine which one you are. But it says the powers that be are ordained of God. Every preacher, we've got a dime a dozen now. Everybody's trying to be preachers. We're promoting everybody now. Amen. And these people don't understand something. You are in trouble with God because you are displaying something that is not of God to the public to make it look like God, and so you're painting a false picture of what God is. And you cannot lie on God to the people. Glory to God. The power that be ordained by of God. Wherefore, therefore, it says, listen to this, whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You, listen, God will always, before you leave this world, you will sit up under your anointed person that God has already ordained for you to be under. Amen. You may have already done it and left because you didn't agree. You may be there now, or you may be contemplating on leaving. Glory to God. But however the matter is, you will know. And the Bible declares that when you resist that power, because everything that is preached is not going to be to your liking. It's not going to be, amen, something that you're going to rejoice over. Because listen, amen, if everything we did was right, we'd be way farther along than where we are. So God has to pull us back in line. Judas did not want to get in line, and so he suffered consequences. Peter got in line even though he was rebuked by his anointed person when he told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he went on to become one of the greatest apostles in history, simply because he submitted to his leader when his leader had to correct him. One of the things that we lack in the church, amen, and one of the things people do, they do not want to be corrected. Everybody don't have an avenue to God on certain things, because if that was the case, we wouldn't need pastors and preachers and apostles and prophets. Glory to God. So most of the time, God is just telling you who to go to. And when you are there listening to what they're saying, the truth, amen, will penetrate your spirit. Whether you accept it or not, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free, amen, if you accept it. So we have to understand that when we resist these powers, we cause damnation on ourselves. You cause the blessings to leave you. You cause, amen, things to happen. Amen. And don't judge somebody because they're not where you think they ought to be right now, because God is doing exactly with some people like he did with Joseph. Joseph had to go through a series of trials, but he submitted to his brothers. He submitted to his father. He submitted to Potiphar. He submitted to the jail keeper. And look what happened. He became one of the greatest leaders in the Egyptian realm that there was. He was next to the king. Because when you submit to the higher authority of God, that means that it is time for promotion. God is trying to promote you. He's trying to elevate you. He's trying to take you into a new dispensation, a new dimension. He's trying to shift you, and this is why he corrects you. He loves whom he chastens. And if you were not on your way anywhere, glory to God, God would not chastise you. He would not have men to correct you, but he has to correct you because he has an anointing that he wants to pour out in your life, and he can't pour it out on top of certain things that may be in your spirit. You have to understand. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Would you not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. I'm reading from the third verse. And thou shalt have praises of the same. You have praises of the same. For he that is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Amen. He's the minister of God. And so we have to submit any time. Again, I will say, let me just read the fifth verse. Wherefore, you must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Amen. Nobody enjoys correction. Nobody enjoys chastisement. But if we look into the spiritual realm, we will find that when that happens in our life, God, not somebody, not yourself, we don't want self-promotion. We want godly promotion. And when we get godly promotion, that means that somebody who is anointed will cause promotion and get you to and recognize that promotion in your life. Glory to God. You have to understand that. Get ready for promotion. When you are corrected and chastised and it's not easy, don't pout. Don't sit there and get mad. Don't leave the church. Don't get mad at the preacher. But prepare yourself, because God has already ordained a place for you, amen, that he's taking you to place you in authority. Have to understand that. It is the nature of man to get upset when they're chastised. The nature of man to get upset when they're rebuked. The nature of man, and I said the species, which means man and women, to get upset, amen, when they are corrected, because we have our own agenda. You cannot have your own agenda and then sit up under God. Everybody is subject to somebody. Amen. You have to understand that. Now, let's roll down the scriptures here. Let's roll down the books of the Bible, and let me show you some men who were subject and what God did for them. Amen. Or some women. I'm going to start at the bottom and then work my way up. I've got a list here. First, I want to talk about Moses. Moses was a princess in Egypt. He was used to being in authority. Moses would say, jump, and they would say, hi, because they would have to answer to the king if they didn't. And the king did not punish you a lot of times. They would kill you on the spot. Moses was dressed in princely robe. He was rich. He had authority, amen, that no one else had in the kingdom. But something happened. He did something. And then he had to leave, and he went down into another city to run away from Pharaoh, because he killed an Egyptian, which would have been criticized by many Christians. But he went down and into another country, and he submitted himself to a man called Jethro, a priest, amen. And he submitted himself to this priest and did what the priest commanded him to do. He came from the prince's throne and went to herding Jethro's, amen. He started herding Jethro's sheep. That was unheard of for a prince to do, but he humbled himself and he went down, and God watched all of this with Moses, and he says, I can use this man. And at the point in time when God saw the humbleness of Moses submitting to the priest, amen, or submitting to Jethro in earthly employment, God saw all of this, and God says, now at the appointed time, it is here, and I can use him. And the burning bush came up, and God calls Moses to be one of the most prominent figures in Christian history. He became the leader of the nation of the Hebrews. God promoted him. God blessed him. God gave to him. Amen. Whatever Moses requested, God did it for him, because he humbled himself, amen, under a mentor. Then he had somebody up under him whose name was Joshua. The Bible said he was Moses' minister. Didn't mean he was a preacher. It meant that he ministered to the care of Moses for whatever he needed. He did not submit to anybody else. He didn't let anybody else pull him away from his duties, amen, under Moses, being under Moses. He didn't think himself to be belittled under Moses. He didn't think himself to be a flunky under Moses. Nobody pulled him away like they did Aaron, who was the priest. They pulled him away from following God. Joshua stood there. And so then when Moses, amen, died and could not finish the promise of the task that was set before him, guess who God used? He used it, Joshua, because Joshua submitted under his anointed person. You cannot, amen, be a person who submits under your anointed person and God not promote you and bless you and cause things to happen in your life. But why things are not happening? Because you have not submitted unto God. Submitted unto the ministers of God, you submit unto God. And God will show you who they are, because everyone that says that they're a preacher are not ordained by God. Now, look what Joshua did. Joshua, God loved Joshua so much, and God rewarded Joshua for being submissive to his mentor, which was Moses, until when Joshua was able to stop time in his tracks. He said, "Son, be thou still. Moon, you be still." And time stopped. He had authority with God. Nothing in the world aged for 24 hours. It didn't age. Time means aging. Amen. As time goes by, things age. And Joshua stopped time. He stopped the sun. He stopped everything. Trees didn't age. Humans didn't age. Nothing aged. Amen. For 24 hours, because God submitted to man. You want your prayers to be powerful. You want your words to be powerful. You want to lay hands and get an anointing in your life. Learn how to submit under the authority that God has placed you under. Have to do this. This is a word from the Lord. This is what we've been missing. We want prosperity. We want money. Amen. We want houses. We want cars. We want clothes. Amen. We want prestige. We want position. We want to be seen. We want an anointing to where we can preach so good that people go to shout. Oh, that's good. But we have missed the most important things that causes these things to happen. One of them is submission. To whom God has placed you under. Glory to God. Listen to this. Elijah went. And when Elijah went and followed Elijah, Elijah asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And because he submitted under his anointed person, which was Elijah, amen, when Elijah was taken up, Elijah got a double portion of his mentor's spirit. Why? Because he submitted under authority. You can't be in authority if you haven't submitted under authority. You've got to understand that. Too many people now are in authority and nothing's working like you want it to work because you haven't submitted under authority. You have to submit under authority. Glory to God. That's how it's going to work. Glory to God. Submitting under. You can't preach. You can't teach. You can't be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist if you haven't submitted under your mentor that has been set over you. Jesus was subject to the power. He was subject to Herod. He was subject, amen, to the king. Paul was subject. He said, "All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient." Amen. He had to be submissive. He went on the boat. Jesus was subject to his Father. We have to be subject. The blessings will roll in. I can't finish all this today. I'm going to try to finish it next week. I want you to tune in because God's getting ready to do something with somebody who's listening to me right now. Get ready to receive your miracle. Right now, because it's about to happen in your life. Amen. Submit. Submit and let God use you in a mighty way. I want to talk about Ruth next time. Show you exactly how it happened. Amen. My time is gone, and I tell you, I appreciate all of you who have been tuning in. P.O. Box 492. Join me next Monday at 6:30. We'll be here.
Guarantee one day itself. Oh. I know. That's what they all said. Huh? I turned every investigator in the phone book. Well, alphabetically, of course.
We
figured I could count on you somehow. I mean, your voice on your answering machine was so sympathetic. I quit my job back in Bayona at the Firmer Body and 10 Days Exercise Salon, and I spent all my savings on new assets and a plane ticket for away. I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Said yes, it looked like punching a clock. Barbara barely gave me time to shower and change into some gear I kept at the club. I wanted to grab a cab back to the estate to pick up the Ferrari, but she said that would be a waste of her time and money. So we headed downtown on a bus.
Almost fresh. I got on the plane yesterday. Thank goodness I saved a bus.
Barbara?
Huh?
I understand about Roger being a great...
Fantastic player. His life dream is to play competition on TV.
What I don't understand is the part about the gold teeth.
His gardening truck. Did I mention that Roger is terrific with tropical flowers? Therefore, I know he's going to be doing real well over here. Anyway, his gardening truck was rear-ended and his mouth... steering wheel. So, he has his friend who's coming with his dentist. Some friend, right? And... you gave him a deal on these new front teeth.
The problem with stealing a bus is that it can be pretty humiliating. See, a bus creeps along while the rest of the traffic is around.
Well, all the enamel fell off, leaving just the gold casing.
Yeah. So that's why you don't have a photo of Roger. He's embarrassed to get his picture. Come on. Next two halls right up the street.
Okay.
Barbara, does anyone know that you've come here looking for Roger?
Huh? Only half of Bayonne. I tried to stop my mother, but she insisted on giving an elopement party, which is a first for New Jersey.
I would be paranoid to assume the blue sedan was following Barbara and me. There were plenty of other people on the bus, but private investigators are paid to be paranoid. So I made a mental note to check for the car when it came out. I wonder if Barbara realized just how careful I was.
Yes, Mr. Masters.
Hi, I got
Magna, why must you always call me on Robin Masters' private line when there are four other perfectly good phone lines into the estate?
Well, it's the only number that I can remember. Hey,
guys. You're asking.
Of course I'm asking.
It isn't like you, Magna. Not like you at all.
Well, I need it delivered.
Delivered?
Look, Higgins, I only have 23 hours to solve this case that I'm on, and I can't do it riding around on a bus.
A bus?
You're on a case, and you're riding on a bus.
Don't laugh, Higgins. Some of your best investigators use buses. Buses can't be tailed. You can always spot a tail when you're riding on a bus.
This is too bus.
Just get me the Ferrari, Higgins. I'm at...
Honolulu.
I don't believe it.
Coca-Cola and Honolulu.
Megan, don't forget to tell him which bus to take back. I wouldn't want him to make the wrong transfer or whatever it is one does on a bus.
Nobody here ever saw Roger. Let's take the next one.
No, I've got my car coming.
We went all through that. I got no time to wait around while you wait for my car coming.
And cover the fool's home faster from my car than we can the back of the bus. Besides, how do you know Roger won't come to that door? I'll tell you what. My car will be here within the hour. I'll play you for that hour. You win. I still owe you 23 hours of investigation. I win 22. But either way, we'll have my car and we'll move faster. What do you think?
You a hustler.
Do I look like a fool hustler?
No. Rack them up.
No, they're still in Lulu's. No, they haven't spotted us yet. Right.
Maybe I didn't have a fluorescent suntan, but I'd spend my share of time at school hall, kid.
Ketchup.
Of course, that was a long time ago. Pretty cool.
in their late 20s or early 30s. Still do that. Roger and I met playing pool. I felt this traction in an asking to teach. Someone's showing me the game. There's a lot of company is being controlled. Over the end of the evening, he asked me out. It was just like in the movie. You know what I mean? Well, just when I know he's about ready to pop the question, disappears. Almost a year later, I get this postcard with this P.O. Box postmark, you know? Well, once the writing started again, we burned up the postmark. I mean, tore it, you know? And then, bam! Marriage proposal. Well, I was so excited I couldn't sleep for 2 nights. And then I telegraphed. Yes. And then yesterday, when I got off the plane.
No, Roger.
That's 24 hours, Yomi. Crack them up.
Well, we do what we have to do.
We visited so many pool halls that day and night, I couldn't begin to remember them. Barbara's 24 hours were about up. That is, until you figured our pool bed.
According to my calculations, you owe me through dinner time, which is 6 p.m. in Bayonne.
Right. My paranoia was in full bloom. Every time we came out of one of those pool halls, the blue sedan was crucified. Even after we switched from the bus to the car, his tailing didn't improve. It was almost like he wanted to be spotted. Barbara, are you a girl who gets nervous in a car?
Okay. But I don't have to.